Welcome to the New Reality Show, where you can call in live for laser coaching and engage in Q&A with Drs. Art Emmerich and Christina Winzi. Discover how to master the power of your mind, body, and spiritual energies. Get empowered to create your new reality for more happiness, well-being, and success.
I'm always excited when the music stops and we get to do our thing.
Yeah, we get to see each other and be live in front of the worldwide audience here.
Oh my goodness. Well, good evening, everybody. You're tuned into the New Reality Show. If you're new to our show, I'm Dr. Christina Winzi and my colleague.
Dr. Art Emmerich.
Yes, and we are thrilled to be here with you tonight. We have a very special show. We'll be talking about natural solutions for anxiety. We're going to be talking about what the difference is between anxiety and stress. How can you reduce or eliminate anxiety naturally? What is an anxiety problem versus a stress problem? And what is happening in the body? We're going to give you tons of natural solutions that you can use to help yourself with anxiety problems. So we're really excited about that because a lot of people suffer from anxiety, and boy, oh boy, it's especially with the way the world is right now. Correct, Dr. Art?
Absolutely. It's a little bit difficult topic because it gets scrambled up with stress so easily and so quickly. Stress can produce anxiety, anxiety can produce stress. And so we're going to try to untangle them a little bit for you and hopefully help you see your way out of either one or the other or both with some of the practices that we've got.
Exactly. Yes. So just a little bit about the show. Again, we are doing this show because we wanted to provide solutions for people in this very stressful world that we're living in, speaking of stress. And between us, we have about 100 years of one-on-one practice working with patients and clients and helping them. But we wanted to reach a wider audience and be able to help a lot more people. And we felt that the radio show would be the perfect way to do that. So that's why we're here. It's a labor of love, and we offer to you whatever we can provide. And let's get started. So okay. I just want to say a couple things. One is this is a call-in show. So we invite you to either join the discussion, ask a question, get laser coaching right on the air. And Thomas, if you'd put up the phone numbers, if you want to call direct toll-free in the United States, you can dial 888-627-6008. Or if you are outside the U.S., you can dial 323. Use a 1 before that, 1-323-744-4831. We also invite you, if you enjoy the show, we would love for you to be a subscriber. And you can find that right on our show page. And Thomas is putting that up for us. Thank you, Thomas. And if you click on that little link, you can become a supporter. And we deeply, deeply would appreciate that because it keeps the lights on, helps us to help more people. So with that, we're going to go forward with Dr. Art's tip of the week.
Okay. Following the practice, I have a one-word name for this script. It's called Now, N-O-W. One of the interesting things about the way we live our lives is we know that we cannot do anything yesterday. It's gone, you know, and we can't do something tomorrow because it's not here yet. We can only do something right now. But the amazing thing is the amount of time we spend not in the now. We're either in the past rummaging around things that happened to us that either made us happy or made us sad or angry or whatever, or we're up in the future wondering about what's going to happen and worrying about what if this happens or what if that happens. and it's really producing a lot of anxiety for ourselves. But there's an invitation in mindful meditation for you to invite your conscious mind to come sit quietly by your unconscious, which is always in the now, because it runs your body and can't afford to take vacations and go off into the future or the past. And get your conscious mind to be willing to stay there for a while, just as an observer. Just watch what's happening. Watch the thoughts, watch the feelings, watch the ideas come downstream, and avoid getting tangled up with them. Because one of the things that happens is we see one, oh, that's interesting, I think I'll think about that for a while. Well, now you're not in the now anymore. You're off somewhere else. So it's a skill. It improves with practice. And I encourage you to learn it, because when you're in the now, you can really get a lot of stuff done.
Awesome. And, you know, the now is the point of power, because each moment is a now, and you can change your decision about how you're going to think and feel and be in the now.
Yeah, it's a dynamic now. It's not a static now. It's moving all the time. And in order to restrain yourself from moving with it, you have to learn how to sit quietly and let the nows pass by in front of you and just watch them pass by, not get tangled up in them.
Absolutely. And the other thing I love to point this out, because I think that it actually goes in line with anxiety. Is that a lot of people miss their lives. They just, as you said, are living in the past or the future, and they're not appreciating what is good now and really soaking in the moment. So when my kids were little, and even now that they're grown, every moment that I could soak in, it was like I wanted to burn it into my memory and really appreciate the feelings and the experience and remember the fun and the joy. So now is where it's at, for sure. Yes. Well, we have a very big topic and a big job to do here, Dr. Art. I wanted to start with this topic, the quote from CNN from an article you found, that generalized anxiety disorder is the single most common health diagnosis, and yet it is still taboo to talk about it. I bet there are more people having anxiety problems than we would know, because people are sort of embarrassed to say that they have it. Wouldn't you say?
I think so. I was surprised in doing the research as how debilitating anxiety can be. It can actually shut everything down, where you become powerless, really, unable to speak, to move, to take any action at all. You're just really paralyzed. And so not all anxiety is quite that dramatic, but quite a bit of it is. I deal with, for example, with students who have test anxiety. They study, they learn, they're good learners, they know their stuff, they walk into the exam room and it's all gone. It just completely leaves, and they don't know what to do other than just sign their test paper and hand it in blank, and they come out and say, well, I didn't get a chance to show what I knew because I just freaked out. Freaked out is another word for an anxiety attack, I think. And so I work with them a lot, just teaching them how to calm down while they're studying before the test, and how to calm down during the test. And all of a sudden, their test scores shoot up and their grades shoot up, and not because they've gotten smarter at all, but just because they're able to finally relax and demonstrate what they know. So our bodies can really lock up on us if we allow them to, and don't know any anxiety reducing practices, and we're going to give you some so that you can really take some action when that kind of thing happens.
Well, I believe from what we've been reading and what we know ourselves is that when someone's under a tremendous amount of anxiety, they may not be diagnosed with PTSD or an OCD type of compulsive anxiety disorder. It might just be this GAD, the generalized anxiety disorder, but it's very real to people. And what literally happens is, just like with high stress, there's a clamping kind of thing on the brain. You can't think as well. Yeah. And think about it, when you're stressed, the blood is pumping, and it's less is going to the brain because it's more going to the muscles, so you can run away from the tiger, you know? So the problem, one of the biggest problems, which you just talked about with test taking, is that the thinking process is not as clear. So
one of the things that I show my clients is a picture of about 8 different camera apertures that one of them's wide open with a big opening for light to come through, and that's relaxed. And as you get a little bit uncomfortable and nervous and concerned and worried and so forth, and these things, so that by the time you get down to anxiety and clamping down, sometimes completely. Where now what I describe that hole is the access port between your conscious mind and your unconscious mind. Mm-hmm. And when you're a student taking a test, you have studied consciously. You sit down, you read, and you read it over again. You repeat and you repeat. And what that's doing, hopefully, is transferring that information into your unconscious. And there are people who study really well. Well, when you get into the test, you read the test question consciously, but then most people don't realize what happened. Your conscious mind says, what's the answer? And what you hope is it's stored in your unconscious. Well, if you're in an anxiety attack, the pipe between your conscious and unconscious is so tiny, there's nothing much, just a little dribble coming through. So as you can open that up, you get full access to everything you know. Now, what happens in that shutdown procedure is that the capillaries and blood vessels in our brain, in the frontal lobe where our IQ lives, squeeze down to get that blood into the lizard brain, the fight or flight part of our system, and then get that blood to flow out into our arms and legs, as you mentioned, for fighting or running. Mm-hmm. And so what's happened is, when you're stressed, you're dumber than when you're relaxed. Your IQ literally goes down. And so it's not, relaxation is just not a nice thing to do and it feels better and all that. It also opens up the blood flow so that you have access to what you know. Mm-hmm. And it's really critical that we, not only just students taking a room, taking a test, but anything that we're doing, if we have a presentation to make, or we're going for an interview, or anything that we do that would require a little bit of concern, if that's overdone, it'll shut down and clamp us out, and we just start acting like a robot. Then we don't have really access to much.
Absolutely. Well, the general anxiety disorder, as identified in adults, if you're experiencing 3 or more of the following symptoms on the majority of days for at least 6 months, is the way that they diagnose it. Mm-hmm. And they said, if you are experiencing restlessness, easily fatigued, difficulty concentrating, irritability, muscle tension, sleep disturbance. And again, that was at least 3 of these the majority of days for 6 months, you would be diagnosed with general anxiety disorder. And so, you know, technically, anxiety is apprehension over a perceived future event, mm-hmm. Or an oncoming future event, an actual future event that you're anticipating. And what typically can trigger the anxiety is imagining the worst and snowballing, and we call that catastrophizing or awfulizing. And so, you know, it's almost like you're scaring yourself. Yeah. You're deciding to think about what the very worst, most frightening thing possibly could happen. Mm-hmm. And you actually do have control over that. And that's some of what we're going to get into.
Yeah.
But, and as a result, you know, you get the increased heart rate. The difference between anxiety and stress, we had mentioned we were going to explain that, is that the anxiety is the mental process of awfulizing, of catastrophizing, and of anticipating with deep worry, very active worry of a future event. However, stress is the actual changes in the body that, you know, if we were to differentiate. Now, that's not to say that stress doesn't cause mental upset, et cetera, the stress of life. But in order to differentiate the two, I just wanted to kind of say anxiety is this whole mental aspect that causes the stress response mm-hmm. in the body, where yeah. the heart rate goes up, the breathing, you're ready to fight or flight from a tiger. And so, but it's even more than that. With anxiety, you can be very irritable. And as you said, Dr. Art, you can't think the same. You can't, your IQ literally goes down, and it can be immobilizing. It can cause you to just not do anything at all. And this is very important regarding people and their goals, because people will set goals that they're excited about and then scare themselves and realize, well, this is too big. I don't know how I'm going to achieve it. And then they get frightened and they just sit on the couch and don't do it. So there are many ways to cause anxiety for yourself.
Yeah,
shall
there
we
really
say.
Are.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And what makes it a little complex is that the relationship between stress. So we have PTSD, the S stands for stress, post-traumatic stress disorder. So somebody who's suffering from that is probably operating off of a memory of something that happened in the past.
Yes.
But it's brought into the present and they're feeling those emotions, and that causes an anxiety attack. So that's mm-hmm. where it's complex, in that stress can create anxiety. And so teaching people really how to manage, where's your mind? Is it in the past, or is it in the future, or is it right here in the present? The mm-hmm. present is the safe place to be, and the best place to be, but it takes practice, because we get used to catastrophizing and worrying about something. Now, planning is going off into the future and figuring out what you would like to have happen. And maybe you see something that you don't want to happen when you're up there. When you come back to the present, if all you do is worry about that, that's anxiety. If you decide, okay, so here's what I'm going to do about that, and you take action, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and that's going to make sure, or hopefully will ensure, that that thing I envisioned doesn't happen. Now you're using it productively. Now we call it planning. You know, so the difference between worry and planning is, did you take any action or not? It's the same process, but it's
right.
just, what did you do with it?
Right. Yeah. No, that's very true. Very true. So, you know, what's interesting is this article that you had pulled, where there was a group of experts that did a show, an hour-long video chat, and they found the 10 things they learned from their conversation about anxiety. And it was very interesting. One of the things they said is that military families may be especially susceptible to anxiety. And we know this because post-traumatic stress syndrome is very common among veterans who've been in the thick of the battle.
It is. And counterpoint to that is, when I first started doing research many years ago on PTSD, I thought it was mostly, they were talking about combat military people, come to find out, a lot of times it was their families who'd never been in combat.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times it was people that had nothing to do with the military.
Mm-hmm.
The people who had seen a traumatic event, children particularly, or somebody who's gotten fired from their job or their home burned down or something. You know, that there are a lot of ways that people can get into post-traumatic stress. And it's the memory from the past invades the present because we went back to the past and got embroiled in it again. And we had all these emotions. And one of the things that that I teach is, how do you leave those emotions back there where they belong in the past, you know, and not bring them into the present moment? Same thing with the future. You can go up in the future and get all worried and upset about something that might happen. If you bring that worry and stress back into the present, that's not necessary. You can leave all that up there in the future where it belongs and come back into the present and do some very conscious things to reduce the likelihood that that is going to happen. So that's always a
yes, absolutely. And really, the hope I want to give people is the fact that the brain has plasticity.
Right.
You know, there's often a feeling that, you know, what are you talking about? How am I going to change my thoughts? How am I going to feel better? But the fact is that the more you practice some of the things we're going to be talking about tonight. And by the way, you know, we have other techniques that we've talked about with some free handouts in the archive shows. We have a show on stress specifically. We have a show on emotional freedom technique. We have so many different shows with free handouts or free offers from the authors that we've interviewed that you can go back to the archives and you'll see how you can get those free handouts to help you. And the fact is that your brain is what we call plastic. So what happens is that as you practice these other things that can help you, you're literally moving a bunch of neurons that are typically wired for the anxiety response. They're starting to move over to the calm place because mm-hmm. you're practicing. So don't think you're stuck with this anxiety neural net, it's called. As you practice these techniques, you will begin to move the neurons from the anxiety neural net over to the calm neural net. Yeah. And that's the beauty.
The way that usually works, and what we work with when someone is experiencing these things, is to find the triggers. I was working with somebody who gets real anxious when they want to smoke a cigarette and they are not able to for whatever reason. And so I said, well, let's locate some of your triggers. And it's usually first thing in the morning, I want a cigarette, or right after breakfast, or when I've had a cup of coffee, or after every meal, or when I'm driving a car, or talking on the phone, or what. All these can be triggers. And when we discover what those are, what we can do is have that trigger lead to a different neural net than the one that used to be triggering all these behaviors that the person didn't want or doesn't want. When we can find enough, we don't have to find every single one, but we can find enough triggers that we trigger off into this new neurology that we've created. Eventually the old neurology dies out because it doesn't ever get any energy. It doesn't, nobody's thinking about it. Nobody's talking about it. Nobody's feeling it. It's been replaced by something else. And eventually it just starves itself. You know, it doesn't have anything left. So there's hope, you know, to get rid of it completely. You don't have to be stuck with it at all.
Exactly. And, it's such a powerful concept. So I hope that people read up on brain plasticity. I think it will give them a lot of hope. So the other things that they talked about, and then we're going to do a station break for new people who've popped on. Let's see. Physical symptoms are par for the course, but they will pass. So if you find that you're triggered and you begin an anxiety episode, you can you know, your blood pressure will go up, your heart rate will go up, but you can, in even in the midst of it, part of changing the brain and changing the reaction is in the midst of it to actually use the tools to calm yourself down, the tools that we're going to talk about. Anxiety begets more anxiety, which is what we were talking about, the awfulizing and the catastrophizing. Yeah. Medications
get to be a habit. It just gets to be a habit as a way of thinking. And that's when it really gets to be too bad.
Exactly. They say that medications are not one size fits all. We know that for sure. And not everybody is going to respond to, what we're going for tonight are non-medical, non-pharmaceutical types of solutions. So if someone is working with a psychiatrist or a doctor, they can certainly talk about the medications with that professional as they're learning to make changes in a more natural brain control way. Mm-hmm. And there's so much here. So I want to get to the solutions. Let me first do a real quick station break. If you've just joined us, you are on the New Reality Show. Thanks for tuning in. And we are talking tonight, obviously, about anxiety. And we want to provide you with some natural solutions for calming and learning how to take control of your brain and your experience so that you can deal with anxiety in a better and better way naturally and actually eliminate anxiety attacks. So if you'd like to join the discussion and be live with us, you can call in. And the phone number toll-free in the U.S. is 1-888-627-6008. And if you're outside the U.S., you would dial 1-323-744-4831. And we always welcome calls if you have questions, if you want to get coached on the air, or if you just want to join the discussion, we always welcome our listeners to call in. So what do you say we get to some of these solutions? Do you have some other things you want to talk about before we do that?
No, I think we ought to get right into some practical applications. We always promise our listeners to give you some things you can take away from this show and start doing right away to deal with whatever the topic is that we have for that week.
Right. Okay. Go ahead.
Well, one of the things that I like a lot is called bilateral stimulation. And it is a very cool thing that you can do. Just get a pair of socks or your car keys or anything like that and hold them right in front of you. This is the center line. This is called bilateral. That means left and right side of your body. And what you do is you hold this object, whatever you've got, a pair of socks, for example, in one hand. And you swing that hand out to the side and then swing it back, pass the socks over to the other hand and swing that one out to the side and then back again. And you're doing this alternately. It doesn't have to be done fast or anything like that, but just alternating back and forth. Now, a little bit of an advanced way to do this, and much more powerful, is if you will follow those socks with your eyes, not your head, but just with your eyes. Follow it out to one side and then the other, just with your eyes, keeping your straight ahead. Okay, so what is that doing? Well, we know that the left side of your body is controlled by the right side, the right brain, and the right side of your body is controlled by the left brain. Well, stress originates in either the left or the right hemisphere, and we don't even have to know which one it is, but we know that that is where it comes from. Mm-hmm. So, what you're doing when you're forcing one side and then the other side and then the other side, and then it's like a windshield wiper going back and forth and back and forth. And pretty soon the neurology is so confused that it was trying to be anxiety producing about something. that was somewhere in the brain and you yanked everything away and then you put it back and then you yanked it away again and put it back. And it gets the neurology gets so scrambled that the stress level goes down, the anxiety mm-hmm. goes down. So a great thing to do is to give yourself an assessment and say 1 to 10, what level of anxiety am I feeling right this minute? And then do this for a little while and you will literally be able to experience the stress level just dropping, dropping, dropping. And when it gets to a level that you think is, okay, I can handle this now, then you can stop. Mm-hmm. And so it's something like, you know, maximum maybe of 10 minutes that you would do pretty fast, very simple. You don't even have to have an object. If you remember that you're just doing one hand and then the other hand and have everything happen right at the center line and then follow it with your eyes, that gets into an EMDR modification, eye movement desensitization. So the combination of the two is a very potent way to instantly reduce anxiety and one that you can do most anytime, anywhere.
And that's so powerful. It's almost like, in addition to the EMDR, it's almost putting you into a meditative state because you're having to concentrate mm-hmm. on this.
Yeah.
So I actually like the idea of moving the sock. Because is part of the concentration required.
Right. Uh-huh.
You know, it's like, how do I get it from one hand to the other? Okay.
Yeah.
So very powerful. I love that, Dr. Art.
Yeah.
Then I think people who suffer from anxiety, if they are chronically insomniac, if they are not getting enough sleep, in fact, when you are deprived of sleep, your anxiety levels are at risk. You really are at risk for more vulnerability to stress and anxiety ways, producing ways of thinking.
Right.
And so getting enough sleep is a simple solution to being your best. And it's something that, as we did a show on sleep, thousands of people are suffering from insomnia. So go to that show, that archived show, and learn how to help yourself do better with sleep. But so that's one of the main things for self-care. And, so many people overlook sleep, but sleep is involved in controlling your weight, in regulating your body, in growth, in repair, and processing everything mentally that happened during a day. Your brain sort of files everything at night when you're sleeping. So sleep
gets rid of a lot of the excess emotion that's not supposed to be stored in your body anyway. That's mm-hmm. the way you dump it out of your system and get rid of it.
Exactly.
Another really cool thing that you can do, and this is so innocuous sounding, is just smile. Even further than that, the best negative emotion destroyer is laughter. And I advise all of my clients, you know, have some laughter every day, you know, get a good dose of laughter and make sure that you look for a way to do it if you don't spontaneously find it. But short of that, smile. And here's a cool thing that I just read about. Smile inside. Even if you can't make a smile appear on your external face, you know, that your face is not used to those movements. Imagine inside that you're smiling. It your unconscious is watching you, your body, and listening to the words that you say and the thoughts that you have and the feelings that you have 24/7. It never goes to sleep. It's watching, even while you're sleeping, it's watching what's going on. And when you smile externally and internally, it produces a biochemical hormone effect, flooding your body with some really good feel-good chemicals. And that releases those chemicals into your system. Really good anxiety reducer right in itself. So just smile.
And smiling is such a key thing. So excellent. Also, it helps if you have a calmer environment. So if your environment is one that is cluttered, if your environment is one where you have piles of papers and you're just not organized, you can make a big difference in how you think and how you feel when there's a calmer environment around you. So, you know, and that even includes, do you take bubble baths? Do you like bubble baths and lighting a candle or dim lighting and just being quiet with nice music or something, anything to improve your environment? And if all you have is a little corner of a room that's just yours where you can set it up the way you want, set it up the way you want and get rid of all the piles of clothes or papers or things that might be cluttering up your environment. And it helps your brain to be less cluttered as well.
Yeah. Another one is expressing gratitude. Dr. Bruce Lipton really waxes poetic on this idea that gratitude changes the chemistry of your blood, which bathes all of your cells. And the most productive environment that he has found is when you are thankful. It really does change your body chemistry. And so expressing gratitude, and it can be in Thanksgiving, we went around a couple of tables during Thanksgiving time saying, well, what are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? And I decided one of the times that I would say what I'm thankful for is all of the wonderful things that I get that I'm not even aware of, that I overlook because they're so small. I can be thankful that I got to take another breath, mm-hmm. or that I got to see a beautiful tree outside, or that I had a place to sleep, or that I had some clothes to wear, I had food to eat. It can be the mundane things, and it doesn't have to be any gigantic stuff, and that's also fair game too. But just this idea of bathing yourself in an attitude of gratitude all day long, every day, that is probably the most powerful physical thing that you can do for your system.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. That's a really good one. And I find my clients benefit tremendously if they're having trouble just sitting down and begin to write a gratitude list. Sometimes is easier than making a mental one,
right?
Because you're actually putting it on paper. And the thing that I am grateful for when I'm doing gratitude, I thank God for my body, or thank the universe, whatever it is you believe in, for my health, for my eyesight, that I can take a breath. I mean, all of the things you mentioned, it doesn't have to be some big thing. So that's awesome. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, if you are eating very stimulating things like sugar and coffee and white flour, and you're a not so healthy fast food, shall we say, habituation. This is the way that you eat is not supporting your body with fresh and vitamin rich, mineral rich types of foods, then you are also contributing to problems with thinking, because we know, for instance, that sugar is very addictive and it can actually cause brain fog and other problems. People, you know, they go up and they have high sugar and then they go plummeting down. And this is when you can have anxiety kind of take over. So eating right is very, very important. Just like sleep, you know, these are the basics of well-being.
Another one, there are a lot of breathing programs available. Some of them download, they things you can have playing as you go to sleep at night. Some of them are more academic kind of studies about breath. There's box breathing, four-part, five-part. There's 3-5 breathing, where you breathe in on 3 and breathe out on 5, and all these things. But the whole idea is most of us breathe in the upper part of our body from here up. It's called shoulder breathing. Then there's chest breathing, which is a little bit further down. And supposedly the ideal way is called belly breathing, abdominal breathing, where you poke your stomach out and that sucks the diaphragm down. And then when you pull your stomach in, it pushes the diaphragm up and that empties your lungs. When you poke your stomach out, the diaphragm collapses and pulls air into your lungs. That's deep breathing. And it's what all singers do, orators, people who have to fill a auditorium that requires projection of the voice. They've got to drive that voice. You can't do that from way up here in your throat or your chest. And I just found out that Dr. Chris is an accomplished singer, and she obviously knows all about this. So I should actually let her be talking about it. But the whole idea is that if you breathe rapidly and shallowly and high in the chest, like that, that is your body's way of knowing we are in trouble. And so I'm going to produce an artificial anxiety attack. I have no idea what the problem is, but that's the only time we breathe that way is when we're in great stress and we're in great danger. And so your body really is keyed to the different ways that you breathe. And that's why when you're more relaxed, your breathing tends to slow down, because that's what the body knows. That means I'm not in a threat. I'm not, you know, in a difficult situation, and I can breathe slowly and gently and deeply. One of the interesting things is that your unconscious will allow you to take control of your breathing. It doesn't allow you to take control of many things. It won't let you beat the heart and do things like that. It will let you blink your eyes whenever you want to. Mm-hmm. And if you get tired of managing it consciously, then you just go away and forget about it. And then your unconscious will take over and say, all right, I'll do it for you. Same way with breath. It'll breathe for you automatically. But if you want to take charge of it, you can actually, if you find yourself in panic breath, you can take charge of that and slow it down consciously. Get more air in so that you don't have to breathe as fast, and just slow the whole process down. And that speaks loudly to your body that, oh, I guess the situation that was causing that is over now. I can relax. And so,
you know, that is, I'm sorry, that is making me remember there are so many times when I've seen a show where somebody's play acting, you know, they're acting, it's a show, mm-hmm. but they're acting like they're having an anxiety, and the person says, okay, breathe, it's yeah, breathe deep, you know, breathe. Sit down, breathe. And there's the breath is everything, because it really does calm you down.
It's a response from our brain, but it's also a trigger for the brain. I mean, if you take charge of it, you can trigger relaxation just by slowing down your breathing, and you can be in charge of that if you choose to.
And speaking of that, the next solution is about meditating. Now, some people may say, but if I can't concentrate in meditation, I'm having an anxiety attack. And so the purpose of meditation is not necessarily in the moment that you're having the anxiety attack. But if you practice meditation, you're doing what we talked about earlier, which is that you are changing the neural nets in your brain. You're literally teaching yourself to be calm and one of the simplest meditations, and we did a show where we talked about meditation. It was part of our stress show, actually. When you follow the breath, just, you don't have to stop your thoughts. You don't have to do anything but follow the breath. And if your brain is, your conscious mind is focused on breathing in and following the breath back out and feeling air coming into your lungs and feeling the air go back out. And as Dr. Art talked about breathing just now, combine it with meditation as a practice. The breathing that he's talking about can be used in the midst of an anxiety attack. So when you're having one, to remind yourself and actually do what he's saying about slow breath, that's a belly breath, and calming yourself down with that trigger to your brain that, oh, okay, we're okay. But in between the anxiety attacks, as you're trying to teach your brain, using meditation is a very powerful way to rake off those neural nets that are anxiety ones and make them go over to the calm, peaceful you that you can become. So meditation.
As you probably have seen through by now, a lot of what NLP and hypnosis is involved in is something called pattern interrupts. We are often anxious in a very identifiable pattern. Our system knows, okay, I'm going to get anxious now because I've engaged in these, having my breathing speeding up and my mind starting to race around and everything. So if you can interrupt that pattern, initially your neurology says, oh, I knew what to do here. I had a pattern. I was going down and all of a sudden it got interrupted. And now I don't know, what am I supposed to do now? Where am I supposed to go? So in those times when you do interrupt a pattern, you can implement some of these recommendations we're making, because your neurology is looking for help me know what I'm supposed to do next, you know. And when you come in with a wonderful neurological pattern of calmness and peacefulness, and then all of a sudden, oh, okay, I can do that, you know, and it'll shift over right away. Mm-hmm. So it's amazing how that can work. Now, if you don't know how to do belly breathing, lie down on your back on the floor, put a book on your stomach, and breathe, making the book go up and down as far as you can, you know, up high and then down as low as you can, and then up as high as you can and down low. That is belly breathing, and you'll be able to see it that way and feel it with the book on your stomach.
Well, speaking of that, there's a game that we used to play when we were younger, where we would, I remember at a summer camp that we would all lie on the floor, but I would put my head on somebody's belly and they had their head on the other person's belly, and so on and so on. And then we'd all just laugh and our heads would be bobbing up and down, laughing, all of us. And you can actually pretend that something's funny and giggle and laugh. And just the act of going, ha, 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 you know, you're it just like the breath is a trigger.
Yeah.
Your brain is hearing you laugh.
Yeah.
And so now you're in the mode of humor, which you brought up earlier, that really kind of alleviates some of the tension. And it is a pattern interrupt. It is a way, you know, one of the things I do with my clients when they are kind of going on and on about, you know, the struggle, and they're talking about, and I just say, okay, what is the main thought? And I want you to just repeat that. And I'm going to say something. And they go, okay. And so they start repeating, well, I don't think I'm good enough. I don't think, and my mother told me, and I start singing Yankee Doodle Dandy, and they crack up because I'm actually causing them to stop a pattern of thought.
Right.
And it's the same kind of thing, you know, and it gets you laughing. So what gets you laughing? Think about that and use it as a tool so that you can interrupt the anxiety attack. And you mentioned NLP, Dr. Art, and I think one of the most important parts of NLP is how we use our visual. And so if you have something that if you're visualizing the awful thing, if you're catastrophizing with an awful visual, the typical is a mother who's up at 2 a.m. because their kid isn't home and they're visualizing their kid in an accident. Okay. So if you can make that picture black and white, gray it out, shrink it down, make it as tiny as a postage stamp, you'll find that the emotional charge on that particular visualization goes way down. when you're visualizing big and oh my gosh, and you're seeing the colors and it's bright and that adds to the stress and the anxiety, because you're making it very intense and emotional. And so when you gray it out and you almost can't see the borders and you shrink it down, you'll find that the emotions become less. It takes practice, but it's definitely doable.
Just doable, yeah. We deal with something called submodalities that they can be like color, size, location. If you push something further away from you, as you might guess, it diminishes its impact on you. It's further and further and further away until it gets so far away you can't even see it anymore. Now, it doesn't have any impact. So we play around with the way you visualize. Are you visualizing something where you can see yourself? That means you're not even in your body. You're like a bystander watching you on the screen or do something. That's one way to visualize. Another way is you visualize and you're inside your body looking out through your eyes. Well, you can't see yourself anymore because you're inside there. So we play around with different ways for people to learn to visualize things that will give them some options about how they do it so that they can begin toning down the intensity of it.
You know, there's a wonderful story I heard once a long time ago. Where they did studies, the brain, we know, Dr. Art, the brain doesn't know the difference between what's real and what's imagined. And in this study, and I may not say it as correctly as it was written, but basically there were three basketball teams. One team practiced every day and intensely, and another team didn't practice, and a third team practiced only in their minds. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the test, the team that practiced in their minds did almost as well as those who actually practiced, because their brain was, they were actually doing the activity in their mind, visualizing it, but the brain thought they practiced. And this is, speaking to test taking anxiety, one of the best study techniques is when you have had a class or learned something for the day and you reinforce it by reading it over before you go to bed and seeing it again in the morning, your brain has had the nighttime to organize it and memorize it even more. And then you reinforce it. That's how I got through my tests, is I would definitely, study it. Then before I went to bed, I'd look it over, even if I'm just looking at the page to see the main points. And then the next morning before the test, I would wake up and I would look at my notes again, and it was solid. Yeah. So the ability to visualize includes seeing something on a page if you need
right. it. And going back to that basketball just quickly, I love that study because they were trying to figure out how it was that the people who just visualized doing it did better than the other two groups. And what they found out was two things. When you visualize something that you know how to do, like shoot a basketball, then what happens is a minute signal of all the same muscles in the same sequence goes through your body as if you were actually doing it. Now, instead of being the full energy behind it, it may be like 1/10 of or 100th of a percent of the energy behind it, but the sequence is there. So you're actually reinforcing the motions that you would need to do it. The other thing that was interesting and that was curious to them, that the people who actually practiced shooting baskets missed a bunch of them. The people who were visualizing shooting baskets never missed a single one. They didn't visualize shooting and then having the ball not go in, it went in every time. And that reinforcement and confidence builder had a huge amount of impact on when they actually started shooting for real, because they had already built up this expectation, it's going to go in. And that was a huge contributor to their sink in the basket.
Absolutely.
Really neat.
Well, we're running out of time, but just to reinforce real quick that that whole concept when I was in graduate school, chiropractic school. I had to learn how to draw blood. And I made sure that the day before I had to do this with a patient, I would visualize everything going perfectly. I visualized every step. And when I got there, I was nervous because it was my first time, but I did every step exactly the way I had visualized it. So very, very important.
That's the value of what I do with a lot of my clients, particularly ones that are going in for surgery. You wouldn't think of expecting to go to a play and enjoy it where the actors had never practiced at all. They just got the script and they read it and everything. Yeah, I think I got it. Okay, well, let's put on this play, but they didn't actually practice. So what happens is these visualizations are called rehearsal. Mm-hmm. And the body does not really appreciate unexpected surprises.
Yeah.
Even when they're not really that bad, it's just that they're unexpected, and that's the uncertainty and things like that, the unknown. But when your body and your mind body can say, "Oh yeah, I know, I've been here, I've done that before," there's a reassurance about that I kind of know what's going to happen and I'm prepared for it, rather than I have no idea what's going to happen next and I'm scared to death because of it, you know, so I can get pretty anxious over that. So just the idea of rehearsing something, even if it doesn't happen exactly the way you envisioned it, the value of that rehearsal is still there. It's very powerful.
Absolutely. Well, we are out of time, believe it or not.
Hey, I can't believe it.
And I just want to let everybody know that next week we have a special guest. Her name is Jessie Rodriguez Melendez. She is certified by Dr. Ammons Brain Training. And so we'll be talking even more about the brain and better ways to take care of your brain and maximize your abilities with your brain. And I'm very excited to have her on the show. Meanwhile, if you would like the information that we've put forth today, some of the techniques, some of the things that we've talked about, if you'd put up the email, you can contact us by writing contact NR show. That's N for new, R for reality show @gmail.com. So contact NR show @gmail.com. So that's our show tonight, Dr. Art. Thank you so much for being with me.
Well, I enjoyed every second of it. And thank you for being there and also for sending me that beautiful voice recording. I'm still just reeling over the power of your voice. It's amazing. You're a really amazing person.
Well, thank you, Dr. Art. That's very kind. Yeah. All right, everybody. We'll see you next week. And until then, please practice these techniques and take good care.
Right.
Thanks for joining us. If you've enjoyed this show, please consider being a supporter. You can find that on our show page. Tune in every Friday night at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and find us on Facebook at facebook.com/newrealityshow for announcements of upcoming topics and exciting guest interviews. Bye for now.